We do have a quorum present. Thank everybody for coming. And thanks to everybody also for being a little flexible in time. We have a couple of minutes. Representative Faust moves the adoption of December 3rd, 2009 and February 8th, 2010 minutes. Any corrections on any of the minutes? Any corrections? If not, we'll vote on those. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed and carried. Representative Hausman, want to make a motion?
Mr. Chair, I'm not a member.
Oh, you're not. The chair, Representative Davids would move. Representative Davids moves the House File 2700 be recommended pass and placed on the special general. No, is it general? General registry. Yeah, general registry. Yeah,
That's
his motion. That's his motion. Okay, Representative Hausman, do you want to give a brief description of your bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair, and I think it's appropriate that we come to our last stop, Ways and Means, just after the Governor's State of the State, where he has given us good advice on the bonding bill. He said the bonding bill should be affordable, reasonable, and focused. And that is exactly the message that I have had from the start of shaping this bill. We have Moody's ratings that just came out yesterday that I'm sure most of you have seen that are our first good bit of advice that this is affordable and reasonable. Moody's has changed the outlook in the state from stable to negative, but they cite all the reasons of the budget balancing, the one-time money, the shifts, and the bad economic time. But then they say Moody's has affirmed the state's AA1 general obligation rating. And they list as one of the credit strengths in our state debt ratios on a per capita basis and personal income basis, which are moderate to relatively low. And there are a number of very grim paragraphs. But the two paragraphs that have a little bit of bright news for Minnesota begin in this way: strong debt management and below average debt levels. Minnesota's debt levels have historically been a neutral to positive part of the state's credit profile. The state's debt issuance is highly centralized and controlled, with the bulk of bonds issued carrying the full faith and credit pledge of the state. Minnesota's metrics have tended to place the state about average or slightly better among the states for debt issuance. Moody's 2009 state debt medians report shows that Minnesota ranks 25th in debt per capita and 32nd in debt as a percent of personal income. And they go on from there. So we have one measure that says in this state, since first we began as a legislature, have always taken seriously that we do affordable and reasonable bonding bills. And we have further evidence and a measure that shows that is the case. In the Pawlenty administration's new debt service guidelines, I can tell you that this bill comes in well under those new debt service guidelines. So it is affordable, it is reasonable, it keeps that long tradition of responsible debt. And finally, it is focused, as always. We always talk about the fact that it is primarily higher education. It is secondarily about wastewater infrastructure and, of course, the related environmental issues. And, of course, transportation. All of that infrastructure that has to be in place for us to prepare to prosper as a state as the economy recovers, to train the workforce of the future, and to assure that infrastructure is in place so that business and industry can thrive. It is, of course, focused on making us economically healthy as a state. And I always pick out two of the projects because they show what a bit of investment can do. And one of those is in ports. The city of Winona tells us that with a small investment in ports, in 2009, they doubled the tonnage through that port. And you can imagine the residual effect on land that would have had with other businesses. And by the way, they are looking forward to another addition to that port that presumably will make them ready to grow on into the future. And then Thief River Falls, where we will invest in an airport. And there is a company called DigiKey. It has 2,000 employees. They have been loyal to those employees all through this difficult economic time. They laid off no one. They like our workforce in Minnesota. And they are ready to add another 150 employees. They have this little problem in Thief River Falls when it gets very cold. To be internationally competitive, which they are, they have to promise very fast delivery of their product. And so on those frigid, cold mornings, they have to thaw out the airplane, and they have to thaw out the broom that sweeps the runway. And so when the state invests in some small way in that airport to make it better, we become partners in the Thief River Falls economy and in DigiKey's strength. And though sometimes people denigrate the arts in the bonding bill, even there, we have economic evidence. On that day on the Hill, when all the arts advocates come to your office and you proudly wear their button, I know they tell you about the economic development of arts and culture in Minnesota. And I suspect you all tell them I'm a strong supporter of the arts. In 2005, nonprofit arts and culture organizations and their audiences spent $838 million. I believe in 2010 we're approaching $1 billion as an addition to our the strength of us as a state. And when some of us, as I am and other members of this committee, are strong supporters of the Potter Center for the Arts, it is because we know that it is part of the arts and culture industry economic impact in this state. No small thing. So, Mr. Chair, I know by this point this bill has been out for some time, and I suspect everyone is relatively familiar with the spreadsheet, and I don't know how much you want me to do in detail about that. We've talked about the broad focused areas of the bill.
Well, Representative Hausman, there is an amendment that's in our packet. We could adopt that amendment first and then ask questions. Would that be okay? The chair will offer the amendment H2700A37, and the gist of that amendment is two things. The lines 10 through 17 relates to a conversation we had last night in finance. The legislative auditor has recommended, and we have adopted some provisions from MMB that deals with how we account for staff time that is directly related to bonding projects, accounted for, and it's a recommendation by the legislative auditor. The MMB has developed some guidelines on it, and we have some legislation in. We also had a discussion that there shouldn't only be internal guidelines, but that the legislature should be informed as well. So B merely says that they have to report these those costs to the appropriate legislative committees. And then line 1.18 is a provision that's in the bill. It puts us over about $400,000 a year and $800,000 in the next year for some housing bonds. We've had a strong discussion on that. We may like the proposal, but there's just not, and it's a general fund expenditure as well. It has to be general fund because it's not publicly owned, the program. So that will say that we will remove that from the bill as well. So Representative Hausman.
And Mr. Chair, I should just speak to that second one. I sort of suspected this day would come. We on page 12 of the spreadsheet, you see the MHFA bonds. On another line in the bill, there is still $10 million for public housing. But for some of the other programs that MHFA was proposing, it does in fact require, because it is not GO bonding but MHFA bonding, that we show on our spreadsheet some general fund money. At the time, I suspected I would not have cash, knowing the incredible needs in this state for housing. I put it on the spreadsheet nonetheless and held my breath, knowing that we'd have to probably face reality someday and say there is not likely going to be the cash for the debt service on this.
Today is reality day. Any discussion on the amendment? Any discussion on the amendment? If not, all those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And carried. Then questions to the bill. Representative Holberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hausman, I'm not on the committee that heard the information about the sex offender expansion in Moose Lake. Could you let us know? I know that was a really high priority of the governor's, and I also know that we've passed all kinds of laws in the last couple of years to increase sentences, that we probably need some type of facility, and if you could share with us the committee's feelings on that project and what the alternative plans might be.
Yes, Mr. Chair, and some of you may remember that last year I had it in my bill. I was the only one, and I, you remember I discussed it on the floor, and I talked about, I handed out to all of you the chart that showed in the not-too-distant future there would be 1,000 people, and I talked about one of the arguments for this kind of facility is to try to bring that per diem rate down. When I took that into conference committee last year, there was no support from the other two players, either the governor's office or the Senate, and so that was subsequently lost. This year, I had conversations with the Senate early on, and then in smaller discussions with all of the members of my committee, both Democrats and Republicans, I asked for advice on this, and there was a sentiment that that people didn't want to go that direction. One of the reasons, I think, is the daunting price tag, $89 million. Last year, the price tag was $96 million. I put in only a portion last year for what I thought might be the programmatic dollars. So that is, anytime you try to put $89 million onto the spreadsheet, it's a difficult thing to do. But the other, I think, was what we were beginning to hear in the policy and finance divisions that are appropriate to this. We don't make those, we don't have those debates, we just do infrastructure. But what we were beginning to hear was debate on the policy of this particular issue. We know we have the largest population of any state in the country. What's the sustainability of that on into the future? So when you begin to hear that there is still some debate out there, it also takes a little bit of the motivation away to put that large dollar amount on the spreadsheet. So it sounds as though, even from the state of the state today, that there are still new proposals on the table to try to deal with that population in the future, perhaps in a different way.
Right. And then if I might, I think it's the first time I can remember in a really long time that there's no money for local roads. And my recollection is in the transportation area, that was in the top five as far as recommendations from the committee.
Mr. Chair, I think Representative Leader is not on this committee. I was going to ask him to confirm. I don't think we have it in the final bill because, and I may be misrepresenting, but the Senate has not had great affection for a local road item. We've always had local bridges, always have had local bridges. Local roads, at least Representative Langseth, Senator Langseth, has a slightly different point of view about that, and so that, I think, has not often been in the final bill. Local bridges, always.
Okay, Representative Hauser or Holbrook?
Yeah, I don't have any more questions at this time.
Okay. Any other questions? Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hausman, I'm just curious, in the RIM funding, you earmarked some of that, and I didn't get in on any of that discussion. I don't serve on your committee anymore. what was the logic behind some of the earmarking in that area?
And Representative Hausman, maybe you can, at least in the spreadsheet, give us the page line number if you.
Now that is.
In the bill, Mr. Chair, it's page 88.
Okay, thank you. Representative Hausman.
I think, Mr. Chair, Representative Hausman, I think that the earmarks are only on the bill. I don't think they show on the spreadsheet.
Okay. For some reason, I have the incorrect. That one was not. I think that was added by amendment as we went through the committees. Initially, we had. We did have the. Thank you. I think that was added in by amendment in committee after it left our committee.
Representative McNamara, can you point out specifically on 87 or 88? Which
it's
one?
It's on page 88.
Is that 8.7?
There's about. Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's about. I think there's a half, or I guess about five different earmarks, and I guess I can follow up, Representative Hausman, later. I was just curious. I didn't know what the I mean, some of it's earmarked for the metro, which I live in, and I was just curious. Mm-hmm. Is there a chance that some of this could go unused? That's what I was worried about, because, as you know, this has got a 1.4 federal match for every dollar of state money, and I'm surprised.
This entire section. Again, I always look for our particular authors, and Representative Wagenius is not part of this committee either, and this whole section has been shaped by her. And I know there are a couple of priority areas. She has had and coming out of her committee, she has had a very strong commitment to the Rim Conservation Reserve as a supplement to the other more traditional flood hazard mitigation. And so you see on our spreadsheet, we have linked them together. And in some cases, there are projects that we know are ready to go. The others, there will be, I think, an intention to spread that across the state. That $30 million, by the way, members, matches at least $42 million of federal money. And so that will restore a lot of wetlands. And, of course, it also retains the water on the land, and water retention, I think, is another piece of flood hazard mitigation that we are trying to stress. But Representative Wagenius has by and large shaped that part of the bill.
Okay. Any other questions? Representative Abler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't serve on the Transportation Committee, although I just some very nice features about this this bill that affect North Star. And I am. And I know the author of the bill is an enthusiastic supporter of that. And just to help me understand this better, so when people ask, on page 38, there's $1 million for the extension. I know that's how much they asked for, but just what would be the future pot? If this is all they could spend now anyway, probably, but what would, does this kind of imply that the House is saying we are happy it goes to St. Cloud? And
I think
is there
we
kind of a commitment?
Representative Hausman?
Mr. Chair. I think normally when you start in that direction with some dollars, you assume there is a sentiment that is a good direction. In this case, as you notice, it is only for the purpose of matching federal funds for environmental analysis, design, engineering, negotiations with the railroad, and acquisition of property. So that's as far as we're going with the million.
Oh, yeah, and Representative Aver. I appreciate that, and it's a smile on my face when I ask the question. And then can you just explain to me, there's another pot of money which I really like, which is on page 43, talking about the Transit Capital Improvement Program, and there's I have a local project there for the, as there's two gaps that are in the North Star system about Foley and Ramsey stations, which the City of Ramsey has done a great effort to be a planned city and all that, and so whether you like it or not, they're doing that, and it's nice that the House is recognizing that, putting a stop there. What do you think of North Star? Certain people at this table don't like it as well as others. My good colleague across the way wearing purple, not to say her name. But so, can you tell me that? Is there enough money in that grant to do all this? And if it should get reduced, heaven forbid, along the way, is what happens to some of those projects?
It is Mr. Chair and Representative Abler, it is actually a real number. I did not just pull a number out of the air. We literally quantified what the Metropolitan Council believed, and as you notice, we list the entire system. We're now building a system and not a single corridor. And the Metropolitan Council gave us the projects that they believed were doable and required doing this year. And so that $50 million is a real number based on all the corridor work for this year and would be sufficient.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One final question.
Representative.
And again, I'm not in the committee for bonding. So what did the Senate do with something like this? Do they have a comparable smaller piece? Is that what I understood?
Representative Hausman.
Mr. Chair and Representative Abler, their amount is $30
million. All right. They must not have talked to the Met Council, Madam Chair.
They have a little more for floods.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Bunn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Hausman. I want to thank you for all the amazing work you've done on this. I know it's such a tough, tough job. I want to just briefly ask you about Gillette Children's Hospital. For me, it's a member of the Health and Human Service Committee. I do view it as a significant statewide asset. And I know that it's in your area, you're in the city of St. Paul, but also that the Senate has concluded their body. If you could just give us a little insight as to you and your committee's thinking about this and whether you have any ideas for us in terms of how we could overcome whatever obstacles there are to meeting its needs going forward in the future.
Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Bunn. Yes, it is in my city, and last year there was a request, and my argument was that this was a private hospital, and whenever you write a bonding bill, you have to be very careful about setting precedent and going down a road, and there are certainly lots of private hospitals in this state. Ramsey County came to me this year, and everyone sort of agreed last year probably all the work had not been done to make that a bondable project. Ramsey County believed that had been accomplished this year. It is, however, still a private hospital, and as I look down the road, I wonder how are we ultimately going to be fair to everyone and not just my city. And last year, my committee had a hearing on a concept that most other states have, a healthcare facilities authority, a healthcare facilities authority. And what I learned was really that is how many, many states go, and it is a way to set up a formal program so you are fair to everyone. And I guess I would still counsel in that direction. It's that issue of precedent when you might open the doors that that is difficult for a bonding chair.
Mm-hmm. Representative Bunn.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hausman, thank you for that advice, and I'm hoping I can work with other members of our Health and Human Services Finance Committee to engage with you and others in a discussion about that going forward as to how we might better address this issue.
And Mr. Chair and Representative Bunn, at that hearing, I did invite both Representative Huntley and Representative Thiessen to attend. I believe at least Representative Huntley was there. I can't remember if Representative Thiessen, because clearly that is the committee where that discussion would have to take place. Is that a good direction to go for the state?
Any other discussion? Any other discussion at all? Representative Davids?
Mr. Chair, I'd renew my motion to pass House File 2700 as amended.
The motion is before us. Representative Davids moves House File 2700 be passed and recommend to pass based on general registry as amended. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Carried. Members, there are a couple of announcements that we need to have. Representative Carlson, I know it's not your committee, but you might want to announce finance.
Yes, tonight finance will be meeting at 6:30, room 200, and we'll be taking up the GAMC bill. The other thing we may want to have, folks, we're still, in spite of the announcement last night, looking at the possibility of a hearing on the budget. We've had conversations with Mr. Hansen on Monday. We're kind of back at the original discussion, but it's still a little bit open in terms of time and place.
Additionally, tomorrow, 1 hour, not a half hour, but 1 hour after session, it will be a Ways and Means Committee. We'll probably be picking up the proposal for general assistance medical care as it passes off the House, for, reported to the House floor and to the committee tomorrow here. Again, to follow up on Representative Carlson's agenda for Monday, if we have a joint finance and Ways and Means Committee was scheduled for, I think, 10 or 10:30, 10 o'clock on Monday. The governor has, we had hoped to have his budget by Friday. The opportunity, and I've asked, Representative Holberg has asked for some time to have an opportunity to for each caucus to be able to discuss the budget before we have a hearing. But if, what we're trying to do is to, we haven't got any kind of a commitment yet from the Commissioner Hansen. If the governor has a press conference, let's say at 10 o'clock on Monday, we will continue our joint meeting on Monday right after that meeting is done with. Press conference is finished, with the opportunity for them to be able to present their budget. It would probably not be a lot of questions, but a presentation, and then we would probably recess until the evening. Is that kind of the thought?
That's the plan. The reason we have to be a little flexible is that Commissioner Hansen, who called both of us this morning, indicated that he did want to be with the governor when he had his press conference. And so we're trying to be flexible in that regard. And at the time he called us this morning, it was still somewhat an open question as to exactly what time the governor would have his press conference.
And he has not responded to us yet. So, Representative Abler.
Well, thanks. I'm in less in the loop of schedules than you guys are. But is the bonding bill going to the floor on Monday also? And we're going to meet and recess till evening for that too?
That's correct. So if we have that schedule, be prepared to have a late Ways and Means Committee meeting. Unless, of course, the debate in the bonding bill is within the length of time. Representative Holberg?
Mr. Chair, I would think that people should plan on a late meeting on Monday night.
Representative Westrom?
Chair, so the schedule you just laid out is pending a 10 o'clock press conference. If it's a noon press conference, do we still meet Monday morning? Or would that likely be delayed till later in the day?
Mr. Chairman, our conversations were separate with Commissioner Hansen, but he called us and indicated that the press conference would probably be mid-morning. Now, whether it's going to be 9, 9:30, or 10, I think it's Commissioner Hansen had to talk to the governor, but right. It was rather clear that it was going to be sometime in the morning. Obviously, if it's later in the day, we'd have to revise the schedule.
Sure. Very good.
We'll try our best to keep everyone informed as soon as we are informed. And I'll communicate that with the lead person, Representative Holbrook. Any other questions? If not, we stand adjourned. And thank you for coming.